Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Tuned in to Radio Free Redoubt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, proud to be your host, and welcome to episode 1310 on May 5th. What a beautiful day in the American Redoubt, the last couple of days, actually. And the last episode, 1309, I was under the weather, and several of you could tell. Actually, probably all of you could tell. I was out of it, but I showed up anyway because I said that I would, and my schedule finally is making the switch transition over, and it's my first Sunday to actually be able to, hooray, get the show out on time. And then we had an interview lined up with a guest that it did not work out. So we made some arrangements. We ended up bringing on a young guest who will be joining us here shortly. We had to set some stuff up, but put us back a little bit. But, anyway, I think it's going to be a treat for everyone. I hope that you enjoy it. We're going to be talking about alternatives to the public school system. We're not going to fully explore everything we were hoping to because one guest in particular that wasn't able to join us tonight, but we will be getting to that. We'll be following up with some of what he had to offer. But we've got Katie Kautz from MamaKautz.com website, homeschooling and alternative to public schools resources, along with prepping resources and on and on. But welcome, everybody. Welcome to all of our new members. And congratulations to everyone who participated in the weekly net. It's a communications network that uses radios, ham radio and non-ham radios, your CH3, which is the MERS, the FRS, Family Radio Service, and CBs, and ties that in with the ham operators. For the ham operators or the AMRON operators, it was an overwhelming success. We had contacts that were made across the United States from California, Nevada, Georgia, South Carolina, Missouri, Texas, Idaho, Montana, Washington, Oregon. It was just a great success because we added another band, the 20-meter band, and that really was able to help us connect like-minded patriots. And so in the event of an emergency, a down situation where the infrastructure is disrupted and communications are down and there's no other way to communicate, then, when all else fails, there's ham radio, right? And they absolutely shined. The net control station that was running everything was overwhelmed, but really stepped up to the plate. It was done professionally. Thanks to all of you who stepped into the gap where there were literal communications gaps where some folks could hear others. Everyone out there could hear people that others couldn't hear. And so you guys just took the initiative, stepped up and acted as relays and connected that all together. We are going to make some changes to that. The Chatsy live chat was a huge help with that. And also we have upgraded thanks to donations from some of the listeners out there. We're able to upgrade that Chatsy website so that it does not limit you to just 10 people simultaneously in that live chat room. And that was a really valuable tool that we used in T-Rex 2012 last year for real-time live online chat where AMRON operators were able to communicate with one another in real time to work out some of the propagation issues that they were working through on the ham radio. And so that worked out really well. If you want to learn more about how to participate in the nets, the communications nets take place on the first and the third week of every month. Wednesday nights is your long-range digital communications nets, and the Thursday nights, the first and third Thursday night of each month, are your communications nets using voice and also your local VHF, UHF communications. If some of this is new to you and it's going over your head, don't despair. You can go to the website at www.radiofreeredoubt.com, click on the tab Amron Nets, and learn more and get involved. Okay, we've got several things to cover tonight. I want to get pretty much right into it because time is critical. And we're already running a little bit late tonight. You guys already heard about The Blaze brought to you, and of course, every other news network brought to you. One in particular article, the Israeli jet bombs, the jets from Israel bombed Syria overnight last night. Some pretty impressive videos of some of the explosions that were over there on The Blaze. That's why I mentioned that one. So things are really heating up over there. Something definitely worth paying attention to. Several news updates coming out of there. Senior Israeli official confirmed to the Associated Press that Israel carried out the strike and that the target was Fateh 110 missiles. And the AP reported also that those missiles have precision guidance systems with better aim than anything Hezbollah is known to have had in its arsenal, according to that official. In one interview with CNN, Syria's Deputy Foreign Minister Faisal al-Mikdad called the attack a declaration of war, adding that Syria would retaliate in its own time and way. Of course, they have to say that because their hands are pretty full right now. They definitely do not have what it takes to be messing with Israel right now. Anyway, something very important to be keeping your eye on. If you didn't see it, Obama made a speech to some college students, and he tells them to reject these voices that warn of big government and tyranny. So never mind, when you hear people calling out from the watchtower, hey, there's danger, there is tyranny on the horizon, don't pay any attention to that. Just look the other way. Well, he called the graduates to duty to accomplish great things, like rebuilding a still feeble economy, that means a crumbling economy, and fighting poverty and climate change. There you go. Fight poverty and climate change. Obama also urged the students to reject these voices that warn of the evils of government, saying that still, you'll hear voices that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate sinister entity that's the root of all our problems, even as they do their best to gum up the works, or that tyranny always lurks just around the corner. You should reject these voices, he says, because what they suggest is that our brave, creative, unique experiment in self-rule is just a sham. Well, it's not self-rule that you're trying to push. It's government rule, and tyranny is right around the corner. So, yeah, go ahead and tell those young minds, young pliable minds, just to look the other way. Also, kind of in line with that, Oath Keepers put out an article that was written by Brandon Smith over at altmarket.com, revealing some training videos depicting militias as chemical weapon-wielding terrorists. A training-style video available on the media page of the FEMA HSEEP Homeland Security Exercise and Evaluation Program website and linked to the DHS features a fake news report depicting gun owners and militias as terrorists planning bombing attacks on public centers while confirming that the video source was indeed a FEMA DHS webpage, and it was. He also discovered other similar video which pushes the boundaries even further depicting a raid on a militia headquarters which turns up, quote, evidence of a chemical weapons factory. So this is basically indoctrination, desensitization for our DHS, training them that the militia is the real enemy. So go ahead and play that video. Let's go ahead. I want you to hear it. Take a listen to this.
A raid yesterday morning on a militia stronghold spreads a troubling message across the country today. Confiscated evidence was put on display at police department headquarters. More than 100 weapons were uncovered during the raid. The contraband included semi-automatic assault rifles with sniper scopes, night goggles, armor-piercing bullets, flak jackets, and small plastic bombs. A group of lifelike dummies were used for target practice.
The training models that are up there, they are multi-ethnic, so ethnicity was open. They hated just about everybody.
Also captured in the raid was a home video. We're told this video was taken by one of the militia members showing elements of their lab, which is said to contain the chemicals and equipment necessary to make chemical weapons. No word has been released concerning what, if anything, had been produced. Our sources have verified that blueprints and maps of various sports and convention facilities, tourist attractions, and business sites in a number of U.S. cities were also recovered during the raid.
Okay, in other news from Breitbart.com, there is a piece that broke this week that the Pentagon confirms it will court-martial soldiers who share their Christian faith. Want to definitely make sure that can't proceed. Want to put a gag order on them. Of course, that right along with the same news that the terror database is grown exponentially, upwards of 40% this week. People on the watch list, they're expanding their definition of what a potential terror threat is. There's several things going on. I just want to kind of speed through these things. There's so much to filter through. I didn't really get into as much as I really would like to, but we do have a weekly financial report with the eye on the economy brought to you by Fox 519, an exclusive from Radio Free Redoubt. So I'll go ahead and turn this over. Fox 519, take this away.
Fellow preppers and patriots, fire up those printing presses. The Fed is back at it again. More money will be flowing from the not-so-Federal Reserve, and guess what? It won't be to your pocketbook. These brief updates and more are coming your way in this week's Eye on the Economy with Fox 519. Welcome back to Eye on the Economy. I, Fox 519, am your watchman on the wall, bringing you the economic stories that affect your finances and your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. It's been a busy 2 weeks in the economy, but here are two stories that I feel are most important to you. This week, the Federal Reserve Board met and agreed that they're going to continue their, quote, amazingly well-thought-out plan of printing $85 billion out of thin air each month to buy mortgage-backed securities off of bank balance sheet. Despite the fact that as of March 31, first of this year, our gross domestic product to debt ratio was 105%. This had absolutely no effect in their decision. This move will add an additional $3.3 trillion of debt to the Fed balance sheet. The motion was passed 11-1, and for the one who voted against it, Esther L. George, I commend you. Fellow reader, she must have a strong intestinal fortitude to be the lone voice to speak out and say that this continued move by the Fed will most certainly bring about inflation sooner rather than later. It is a moment like this that I am reminded by George Santayana's quote of "Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it." Fellow patriots, this is what drove the crash of 2008. It's what killed the now defunct Washington Mutual Bank and spurred the bailouts of 2009. This continued buying program is nothing more than stalling the inevitable. And now we move on. The BRIC nations continue their world march towards walling up the dollar. In a press release from the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications, otherwise known as SWIFT, shows that the value of payments using the Chinese yuan currency grew by 171% between January 2012 and January 2013. In January 2013 alone, payments in the Chinese currency grew by 24% from December, pushing the yuan past the Russian ruble to take the 13th slot for world currency payments. Yes, the dollar is still number one for the moment, but it is slipping quickly, and if China has its way, their currency will soon be the reserve currency of the world. To further add another nail in our coffin, March 31st of this year, Australia, our neighbor, and China agreed to direct trade in their own currencies. Folks, this is showing us that the world is fast losing confidence in the dollar. I guess if Ben Bernanke and company continue to print greenbacks very soon, the only thing we'll be able to use that paper for is our own backsides. Fellow patriots and preppers, I hope you took a few minutes in the last couple of weeks to take a few moments to look at your finances and decide what you're going to do to try to hedge yourself from what we know is going to be imminent inflation. Here's my advice for this week. Now that you've got to get out of debt plan, you're focusing on your readiness supplies, it is time to sit down and talk with your family, mainly your children, about how money truly works and how it flows through the economy. I know it's a big topic to try to take on, but it's really important that your kids understand this. They understand what fiat currency is, but more importantly, that they understand that money is not ours. We still have to tie it to God Almighty, but at the same time, we need to use that money for the benefit of others, and at the same time, making sure that our families are protected when the times get hard. That's it for this week. And for Radio Free Readout and Eye on the Economy, this is Fox 519, your watchman on the wall, signing off. God bless.
Thank you very much, Fox 519er. Great work, as usual. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about some of the resources that we come up across. This communications exercise that we're doing, a lot of folks have been asking for a regularly scheduled communications net. We started doing that. And some folks are saying, well, I don't know, you know, what's the future of ham radio? What's the likelihood of it being around? Well, you know, the government's going to try to control it. I don't want to be on a list. There are some definite advantages to ham radio, some huge advantages. This was pointed out over at Lou Rockwell in a great article by a gentleman by the name of David Hathaway. I'm going to post a link on tonight's highlights and resources posting for later on, and I'm going to be working on that after the broadcast and getting everything caught up. I want to share that with you. It could give you some interesting perspectives as far as the viability of ham radio and how little it really is regulated. Okay, now I want to switch directions here real quick because we want to talk about the public school system and some of the alternatives that we have available. It's so important. We need to protect our children, the next generation. We see several problems going on in the public schools. Prayer, largely banned. Teaching the Bible in schools, not existent. But they'll teach a theory like evolution as if it's a proven fact, but they'll take the Word of God and eliminate it from the schools. We have declining literacy in our schools. We have increasing violence. We have a liberal, left-wing, statist, socialist agenda in our textbooks and the curriculum. We have a curriculum that's really driven from a union of the National Education Association, which is riddled with leadership and people with deep communist roots. We have tenured teachers that you can't get rid of. You get this radical environmentalism and a call for the youth to join this green cult and to bow down to the creation instead of the creator and to submit to what they're setting up for your carbon footprint, global tax to fight the environment, environmental equality. Just like Obama just told us, this group of young graduating class, to fight for the environment, environmental equality, environmental justice, so they can tax you, a tax on nothingness, just to tax you on your carbon footprint. Into the schools, we got atheism or an anti-God agenda, not just that there isn't a God, but an agenda that's, and a curriculum, an agenda that's hostile toward God, pro-homosexual agenda, and this indoctrination of equality, which really means embracing and endorsing the homosexual agenda. They teach socialism, the distribution of wealth. Okay, so where does all this stuff come from? It comes from a number of different directions. This IBPA, baccalaureate program. They've tried several times in different communities in the American Redoubt. This is what we're going to be talking about tonight. Not so much this, but we're going to be talking about alternatives, and not as much as I was hoping to. There was another guest that we're going to have to try to get on in a couple shows from now, or the next show in a couple weeks, and try to give you some alternatives. But there are conflicting reports out there. There's two articles that I'm going to post, and I'm going to bring this up with Katie when I speak to her here in just a little bit. First of all, there's an article that came out over in the Idaho, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho's Coeur d'Alene Press, dispelling as myths some of the concerns that parents have as far as this left-wing agenda coming in by adopting these core standards. And the core standards is really driven from a higher, you know, federal level standards that we want you to teach your children. Idaho is saying they don't control us. We control our own destiny. And what we've adopted in Idaho, this is what he's saying, is that only the English and math standards, not the social standards. But there's an article that was that over from parentalrights.org that basically debunks as myths some of these the positions that some of the damage controllers in the states are writing articles trying to debunk the myth that the core standards or Common Core is bad. They're trying to say it's really good. It's not harmful at all. But parentalrights.org wrote an article that's kind of exposing some things as basically this is, you know, this is a state busting the state-led myth that this really is truly a federal agenda and actually coming from higher than that, you know, on the United Nations level, pushing for this. So these people have their marching orders. It's not directly under Agenda 21, but it's tied to these IBPYP bachelorette programs, which are really geared toward driving your kids towards socialism. And not just socialism, but globalism. They're trying to strip them of their nationality so that it's not significant anymore. They want them to be global citizens. You don't believe me? Listen to this.
A type of education that is going to create global citizens, children, that as they become adults, we're going to take leading roles in the way that the world will go forward.
Le programme du baccalauréat prépare les enfants à leur future vie pour la simple et bonne raison qu'on leur apprend à penser par eux-mêmes.
The program is very special in that it's inquiry-based. And inquiry-based means allowing the learner to actually want to learn. The learner becomes responsible for his or her own learning. So it's not what the teacher wants me to do. It's not what my parents want me to do. It's what I want to do.
What we're doing.
When I give the children very open-ended tasks and watch them engage in conversations with each other and how they work cooperatively to find the answer and construct knowledge for themselves.
How do you develop international mindedness, and what is an internationally minded person? And the learner profile actually personifies that. All those attributes in the profile are what make an internationally minded person.
Okay, so that's just parts of a video. I'm going to post the posting for the link to take you to that IBPYP video that you can listen to or watch. It's sickening. I can't even stand the music. But listen to the key words, global citizens. It's not what the parent wants. It's not what the teacher wants. It's what the child wants to do. They want to gear them toward, you know, becoming an international person, not an American. And this, I have a serious problem with this, but the whole problem, this is what's creeping into the public school system. Now, over at Guerrilla America, he wrote an article, and we're going to take a break. We're going to go right into, we got Katie standing by. We're going to get her on the phone. We're going to interview her and talk about this. And this is what we're talking about here. This is an article from Guerrilla America talking about alternatives. What's an alternative to having our kids in the public schools with the dangers that we're facing to our, you know, the public school system and that agenda? So listen to this real quick, and then we'll take a break. This is an atypical post for Guerrilla America, he writes, but I thought it was too interesting for citizens of the American Readout not to seriously consider. Okay, so what are we going to consider? He said, I spent the past couple of days with an American U.S. couple who lived here as missionaries. He's in another area right now, outside of the American Redoubt. It was nice to finally speak English for a change. Among other things, we spoke at length about the problems the U.S. faces. Now, the husband is retired military. I'll call him Keith, and proposed some pretty unique, I think, solutions. I'm reading the article that was posted at Guerrilla America. It's short. All right, just a couple more paragraphs. Whatever happens in the interim, we will, in the American Redoubt, have an opportunity to reshape what our little corner of Earth looks like. He suggested that we start with the Department of Education, namely, that we rebuild what they have destroyed. Keith's opinion is for the church to provide no-cost K-12 education, and reminded us all that nuns who taught at parochial schools were specifically called to the mission of educating children. They taught and the church took care of them. Why couldn't stable homes in the American Redoubt willingly provide room and board for teachers? The teachers would meet the same certifications and would be the kind of teachers who feel called to educate children. Don't shoot the messenger when there's truth in the message. We need an alternative that the church could provide as soon as they realize it. It would mean that children would receive better education, all the same math, science, English, history, government courses that they have now. Well, hopefully, hopefully not the same, along with faith-based teaching and traditional values. The education would be provided at a much lower cost, but it comes with some strings attached. Parents of those children must attend weekly church services. So, if you're like me and tired of seeing the education system continually fail students rather than equip them with the skills to be productive citizens, the church-based education system is a serious option. I'm not saying that this is better than homeschooling, but why couldn't multiple homeschools gather together at a local church and hold class there? You're essentially creating an education system outside of the state. This was a good, insightful article. This is something that is actually being done in various different forms, mostly through what are called co-ops that are tying these together. Now, the problem is the church doesn't really want to get involved for a couple of reasons. Namely, it's very expensive to run a school. I would like to see a way around this. We've got to do whatever it takes to get our children out of the schools. Don't check out. If you don't have children in schools, you still have a responsibility. If you're grandparents, to the American Redoubt, if you want to preserve Americans, then invest in the next generation, because the liberals are, the left wing are investing in the next generation. Just like Lenin said, he said, "You give me a generation." He said, "No, I'll I can't remember how it was. I had it too, and it slipped away from me. I actually had it in my notes, but I don't know where it is. But anyway, the target is the children. Think about that. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about alternatives. Okay, I know I shouldn't have my kids in public schools. I know it's horrible. What do I do about it? We stick around. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk to a very young guest, too, very later on. She's standing by. You're all set up here. So thanks, you guys, for your patience. With this super important topic, we don't want to let this one slip away. We're going to be revisiting this because it's just that important. Okay, this is the Voice of the American Redoubt. You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back from the break, everybody. This is John Jacob Schmidt. We're broadcasting from the heart of the American Redoubt. And as I said, we have a special guest with us tonight. We are talking about education. We're all concerned about education in our country and the cancer that's spreading across the country. And it's even finding its way into the American Redoubt. Of course, it's something that we're going to have to be fighting for the rest of our lives. The price for of liberty is eternal vigilance. And so there are some ever vigilant patriots out there. I want to introduce to you our first guest. She goes by Mama Couts, and many of you are very familiar with her blog, because we have a link there at the bottom of Radio Free Redoubt. Should take you right on through. And who is Mama Couts? Well, she is a prolific blogger. She's a homeschooler, patriot, prepper, redoubter, a God-fearing woman of the word, and of course, that probably all those things puts her on the DHS's potential Homeland Security terror watch list, but and proudly so. So this is the kind of people that we need on our side They are watchmen on the watchtower and watch women. So, Katie, it's so good to have you with us. Thanks for being on us on Radio Free Readout with us. We've been wanting to get you here for a long time. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, let's start with a little bit of background from you. You run at least one blog right now, correct?
I do.
And what
I do. I've been blogging for about 6.5 years.
You are a mother that's concerned about the direction that our country's headed with.
Most definitely.
Yeah. And so you've done a lot of research, and you're also very aware of some of the programs that they're trying to incorporate into even the states within the American Readout, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So what are you seeing, right? We identify the problem across the country. Folks are redoubting here because they think that, hey, this is a more conservative area, which it is. But what are some of the cancerous left statist agenda that's trying to get its way into the public schools here in the American Readout?
Well, I believe that there's a lot of indoctrination going on. And I believe that that even started maybe in our generation. When you look at the kids of our generation that are going through the public schools, the parents have this mindset, and now we're on a second generation of this give-to-me mindset. And I think that that starts from kindergarten all the way through. So I really feel that it's just cancerous to get through our kids when the government is, or, you know, the government runs schools, they're putting into our kids' heads how they're supposed to think.
So how are
they thinking for themselves?
How are they, what's the mechanism that they're trying to use to put those ideas into our children's heads?
Whether it be through the curriculum or straight from the teacher's mouth. I've seen things in the news recently with that boy who wrote in crayon that he was going to give up his Second Amendment rights. That's indoctrination. No teacher should be telling a student how to think in that way.
Absolutely. And it is indoctrination when they make you feel like you've done something icky because you wore a shirt that says NRA on it.
Precisely.
Yeah. Okay. Now, have you ever had your children in a public school?
Oh, yeah. I started out, my oldest two, who are now 21 and 22, went all the way through junior high in public school.
Okay.
We started out in the Seattle area, and then we moved to Idaho 10 years ago. And it was high school, when they started high school, is when I pulled them out of school and started homeschooling.
Okay. And why did you do that?
Well, it wasn't originally for religious reasons. We had some issues with our oldest son, and he was in trouble a lot. And he ended up dropping out. And they did not call me for 2 weeks to find out where he was. Huh. And so my husband and I decided if they did not care about our oldest son, they did not get to teach our other three. They didn't get that privilege to teach our children.
Good for
you.
So
we pulled them all.
Okay, you pulled them out. And then what was the alternative?
We started out with K-12 online. And we went from K-12 to Idaho Virtual Academy online. And because I needed to know this was what we were supposed to be doing, but I wasn't confident in my own self to teach them at home in the very, very beginning.
Sure.
And so we did the online charter schools. We also joined a cooperative, which was a great way to get the kids to learn the subjects that you don't necessarily want to teach or aren't really feeling that you're able to teach, like the upper grade math and upper science. So we did the co-op for a while.
Okay.
That was once a week.
All right.
And it was great because we made lots of friends that way. You got rid of the, quote, socialization issue that everybody's always worried about.
Yes.
And now we pretty much unschool. So we've run the whole gamut from the charter schools at home to now child-led learning.
Now, that's something interesting you mentioned, because I've heard of charter schools, which falls under the purview of the public school system. But it seems to be more academic, higher standard for as far as academics go. But you mentioned online charter school. So they still were not in a public school setting, correct?
No, they were considered public schoolers by the state's laws. but we were doing it at home. So it was basically public school at home. We still had to go. We still had to report to a teacher. We had to turn in work samples. We had to do the state testing. And little by little, as each year went on, they were more in our life and telling us what we could and could not teach, even as a homeschool charter.
Because it's public schools.
Because it's public school.
And these standards came down from where? The state or the federal side of things?
I believe it was the state.
Okay. Okay, so having looked, now, did you ever put them in a private Christian school?
I wish I could. Financially, that's not something I could have done with four children.
Sure, sure.
So there is one not too far from us at the church that we actually go to that has a private Christian school, and we have considered putting them there just because I'm starting my seventh year of homeschooling, and my children would like to. They would like to not be at home all of the time.
Right.
But public school isn't an option.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. And I commend anyone who draws that line in the sand and says, my children will never set foot in a public school. Not in their current state. Not until they change them to bring them more in line with our values. And
right. If I knew then what I know now, my oldest never would have even stepped foot in a public school.
Amen. We're in the same boat. We went through the same thing. And do you notice a sharp contrast between the kids who were exposed for several years in public schools and your children who were not?
Most definitely. My older two were definitely different. Even though they've been all raised the same, and of course the personalities are different, the mindset and their behavior was definitely different. And my older two were also labeled very early on as ADD and ADHD and insistent that we medicate, which is a whole other reason why I would have not put them in public school. But I was young and naive.
Absolutely.
And of course, I was public schooled and I turned out okay, so why wouldn't my own children be okay to go to public school?
Right. Times have changed, haven't they?
It's not definitely the school.
Okay, so let's look at the options. Because this is what we're up against as parents, and I saw this with my own children. My first couple of children went to the public schools, and then the younger ones did not and went to Christian schools only. We have not homeschooled. We've been very blessed in that we've been able to, sometimes barely, but we've been able to pull it off where we can afford to. And sometimes not couldn't afford it, but we couldn't afford not to get them into a Christian school.
Right.
And homeschooling wasn't an option. Many people, the homeschooling is an option where the Christian school is not. But regardless, like you said, get the kids out of the public schools.
Most definitely.
They're just, they're poisonous. And what I'm fearful of is some of the Christians who believe that, you know, their children are going to go into that environment and as Christians and have an effect on the world and, you know, win them over. And it almost always has the opposite effect.
That's definitely a fear we've had is when we talk to friends, kids do go to public school and they are Christian. It is definitely a personal choice. And you also need to pray about that choice because they feel that their children are to be. And if we take all of the Christian kids out of school, who's going to be the light? And there's a lot of debate on both sides of that, and that's probably a whole other interview.
Sure.
On if we take all the Christian kids out of the school, who's going to be the light for the kids that are still there?
Yeah.
So it is definitely a personal and something you need to pray about and do what it tells you to do.
You know, that's a really good point. And different people have different callings. And different parts of the body have different purposes. You know, for me personally, you know, sending our children into the schools is like taking some 15-year-old kid right out of high school and handing him an M4 and pointing and saying, there's the Taliban, go get them. You know, this is
right. I do feel like we'd be throwing them to the wolves.
Yeah. Yeah. They're
if we
just,
did put them in.
They're not equipped. They're not trained. And besides that, we have to spend, you know, 2 hours a night unindoctrinating what the world has spent 8 hours doing.
Exactly.
That's such an uphill battle.
Yes, most definitely.
Okay. Now, we want to look at some of the alternatives, some of the folks that agree. You don't have to look very far to see some of the stuff going on in the public school systems on a social level from their peers, and also from a higher level, a way higher level from like the Department of Education, for example, is really driving some of the curriculum. Are you seeing some of the curriculum being on the federal level, this real leftist statist agenda being forced into the schools, even on the local level where you are?
Most definitely. I can't say anything good about the curriculum that is used in the public schools.
Right. Now, it's my understanding, too, there's been a lot of victories with this IB, PYP, baccalaureate program that's really Agenda 21-driven. I guess it's been attempted at a couple schools throughout the American Redoubt, but it's largely been rejected and short-lived. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, most definitely.
Okay. But we are up against this other thing called Common Core. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Well, the Common Core, from what my experience was, I do believe that it's maybe a new name for something that they've always had. When I did the IDEA charter school, we had to show work examples to each of the different core things on each subject. So, say, did you learn how to multiply 6 times 6? And that had its own little code, and you had to show work examples to that code. But it also, you know, for every subject, this is what this was. So I believe that might be what this is, with just maybe more strict, I can't think of the word, it just more strict or maybe higher standards.
So
I'm
it's
hoping.
A federal standard, federal standard.
Right.
Then. Okay, I was, because you had sent me a link to an article that was really interesting, talking about demythifying, debunking the myths of Common Core being harmful. I mean, they were saying, you know, that there's nothing. Actually, no, that the myth is this is really harmless and it's nothing new. It's just a different name. But that's a myth, that there's actually, this is driven from a United Nations higher up Agenda 21 type of approach. But there was another article that came out. Apparently the guy in charge of education over in Idaho, Luna was his name. He wrote here, or is his name. He wrote an article debunking the myths that this Common Core is a federally ran program. And I hope I said that right. Basically,
right.
He's saying that the state of Idaho chose only 2 items, and that's English and math. And those are minimum standards that, you know, by a certain age, they should be able to say what 6 times 6 is, or they should be able to read and understand a paragraph of English. And that is as far. Pardon?
You would hope.
Well, exactly. And so if what they were saying, the state has full control, and that's the only part that Idaho chose to adopt, it seems harmless. But is that the camel's nose under the tent?
Right.
And is the rest about to follow? Fortunately, so far we've seen over, you know, the legislators in Idaho have seemed to be very strong toward asserting that 10th Amendment state right. We choose what we're going to adopt, and you're not going to force anything else on us. But then we've seen, like with the Obamacare, the governor in Idaho, Governor Otter, has chosen to adopt, say, the Obamacare and basically set aside states' rights. So the fear is that the same thing could happen on this federally driven curriculum, this core curriculum, that just choosing math and English is harmless enough, and everybody agrees there should be a minimum standard. But then the rest, you know, the fear is, will the rest follow right behind it?
Right.
Where they start.
Where I would get real concerned is the social studies and the science.
Bingo. The history, the social.
Yes.
And what they mean by that is that's their indoctrination program. Social studies,
right.
Is,
yep.
You know,
where they take out all of the way our country was founded and all of that.
Oh, exactly.
They start pulling that out. And
yes.
Yeah.
And that's where we're seeing the curriculum where the the founding fathers were not honorable men. They were slave owners. So it's right. And revisionist history and things like that. That's the big fear. Have you seen or gotten any indication that that's the follow, or is just a concern like the rest of us parents?
It's definitely a concern, and I don't put it past them to do that.
Or something we need to watch for.
I wish I could get my hands on the actual curriculum to take a look at what they've got. I don't know if that's even possible.
Now, charter schools. How do you feel about the charter school system?
For some people, it works. It's better than having the child in an actual brick-and-mortar school. But, again, just because the student's not actually going to the building, so they are at home, even though they're still having to use the curriculum given to them by the school.
Right.
And so for some kids, that's better than being in the actual building.
Right. Okay.
But I do know I have a friend that still does IDEA, and this kid still have to do the state testing, and they still have to do what the teacher says and want samples and all sorts of things. And in Idaho, as a homeschooler, independently, you don't have to let anybody know that you choose to homeschool, and there aren't any real huge laws like some states.
Okay, let's talk about that, because right now your homeschooling is kind of that's your baby right now. That's what you're fully invested in, correct?
Right, correct.
Okay, and of course you are a resident of which state in the redoubt? Idaho.
I'm in Idaho, yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the because you just mentioned you don't have to, give an accounting. You don't have to ask permission. What are the laws? How do they rate as far as homeschool friendly in Idaho?
Homeschool friendly, they are like top of the 50 states. Texas and Idaho are the two top homeschool friendly states.
Okay. And in comparison, how do the other redoubt states measure up?
In Wyoming, you have to submit your curriculum to this board of directors to let them know what your curriculum is going to be.
Okay.
And you do not have to do standardized testing in Wyoming. And in Montana, you have to maintain attendance and immunization records that need to be available at request of the school board at any time.
Which state was that?
From Montana.
Oh, okay.
And then you also have to notify, you have to do an annual intent to homeschool, so the school board for the district that you're in, every year.
Okay, and Idaho does not require that.
Idaho doesn't require any of it.
Okay, now what about the eastern portions of Oregon and Washington? I imagine that's probably not going to be as easy for folks.
Washington is not a very easy state to homeschool in. There are a lot more regulations. HSLDA.org is a really great site to go to for your specific state and for laws concerning your state.
Okay. What was that again?
HSLDA.
HSLDA.
.org.
.org. HSLDA.org. And
Homeschool Legal Defense Association. You don't have to be a member to get your state laws. You just go to the website and there's all the state laws for every state in the union are on that website.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, then. Let's get some resources to the listeners, and I want to discuss some the mechanics of how to go about doing this, because this can be a scary thing. Folks know that public schools equal bad for their children right now. They don't know how to take the next step. Maybe they can't private school, but they don't know how to go about getting past that intimidation of homeschooling. So I want to give some folks some resources, and I want to discuss an article that was put out by Guerrilla America here in just a second. I want to take a real short break, and then when we come back, just spend about 5 minutes talking about that so we can give the listener some resources. You'd be willing to stay with us through the break?
Sure.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. All right, you're listening to Mama Couts here on Radio Free Redoubt. We're doing an interview talking about alternatives to the public school systems, and we're going to discuss exactly some of the ways that you can get involved, including not having to do it alone, getting involved in co-ops. That and more when we come right back. This is the Voice of the American Readout. Stay right there. Why do we sit down
when all should be standing? If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com and click on the tab labeled Relocate.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Redoubt. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
Okay, this is John Jacob Schmidt. Again, we're back. We are. It's a privilege to be joined by Mama Kautz, a homeschooling patriot, redoubter, concerned mother, and she has been through the public, the charter, the online schools, and they are homeschooling now their children, protecting them from the influences of the world, and trying to strike a balance between that and not sacrificing their social skills. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. Katie, great to have you with us still. Thank you so much. Thanks for sticking with us.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
All right. Now, there's an article that came out that that I shared with some folks. I posted it on the website. They're reflections on the Department of Education. Talking about free K through 12 education, and what he was really pushing for in that article was a call for patriots, redoubters across the American Redoubt to start developing kind of like a Little House on the Prairie type of approach to educating our children outside of the public indoctrination system. But where folks don't have the resources, everybody in a community, say in the Little House on the Prairie days, they would all pitch in and hire a school teacher to come in and teach their children. They'd build a small schoolhouse for them, and then they had direct control over the curriculum, what their children were taught, while the people were out there kneading bread and grinding wheat and chopping down trees and building cabins. So while we're out there doing the things that we do, building websites or, you know, whatever our jobs are today, driving trucks, we are paying somebody to teach our children, but they're not teaching them what we want them to. What was your take on this article, and how could we, do you think this is a really of this call that he puts out on Guerrilla America, is this viable?
I think it's an excellent idea because it gives you the best of both worlds. It takes the at home with your kids all day away from you. Not that that's a bad thing.
Right.
Every day. But it also makes it so that you do have more control over what goes on, and it makes it affordable because not everybody can send their kids to private school.
Now, is this a new idea?
I think it's a great idea.
Do you think it's a new idea?
Well, no. We did participate in a co-op, which was a little bit like this, where the mothers were the ones that did the teach, or the parents, not always just moms, there were dads involved, where they taught the subject that they wanted to teach, and your child would go to, say, the science class and go do science for 1 hour once a week, and then the next hour they might go do algebra, and the next hour they might go do art or learn how to play guitar.
Oh, okay, so now is this like, okay, so let me try to wrap my mind around this, and also for the listeners. Let's say my strong point is English. I want to teach my children right. English, but I'm horrible at math. So would I throw my kid in the back of the SUV, drive him across town to Mr. Smith, who sits around with four or five kids and teaches them math because that's his strong point?
That's a possibility too, and that is excellent because that'd be more like tutoring. But the co-op that I participated in, we had 150 kids that came once a week for 3 or 4 hours on, say, a Monday. And we did the classes, and each, you know, it was age appropriate. So, say, junior high age or high school age or even the younger kids. So then the mom that was really excellent at science taught the science class. And the moms that were really great at the English taught the English. And so the kids were able to go from class to class to be able to have a more well-rounded education and less holes, maybe.
Okay.
There might be holes in the homeschoolers' education because, say, mom and dad aren't that great at math.
Right.
So they only go to, say, algebra instead of the upper grade of math.
Okay. What kind of controls would you have in place? Let's say I'm horrible at math, so I take him down the street to Mr. Smith, who also is part of the co-op, and he's teaching all the kids math, and I'm thinking he's getting them up to speed, and here they are in the ninth grade, and they haven't gotten past 6 times 6. Are there some type of control measures in place for controlling your curriculum and making sure standards are met without adopting these so-called federal standards?
Oh, most definitely. The teacher or the parents all agree on what curriculum they're going to use before the school year even starts. And usually they will do testing like every couple of weeks to make sure that the students are up to par.
Okay. Okay, measured as you go then.
Correct.
Now, who develops this? The parents all sit around and develop a math test or what?
No, the parents are the teachers.
Okay, but where do they get their curriculum?
Oh, just off of there are hundreds of curriculum websites out there for Christian curriculum or secular homeschool curriculum.
Super.
And they choose ahead of time on what ones, and that is as many homeschool families that are out there. There's going to be that many different kinds of choices for homeschool curriculum.
Okay. Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap this up, and I'm going to let you get going too. But to wrap all this up, let's say my wife and I say, you know, we can't afford Christian school anymore. We're gonna try homeschooling. What now? What do you do? I mean, you pick up the Yellow Pages and say homeschooling under Yellow Pages. What's next?
My first suggestion would be to do some research online, find out what style you like. There are a few different types of homeschooling where you have classical Christian homeschooling at home. You have unit studies where you decide to study butterflies and you're able to cover all your subjects by studying butterflies. Or there's just, you can run the gamut of different types of homeschooling and you need to do what fits for your family. You might do great with ordering a box curriculum and having everything come to your doorstep all in one big box, and here you go, you can run with it. Or you might decide that you would like to use this type of math, but this type of language art, or this type of science, and pick and choose what fits for your family and your children's learning styles.
Sure. Okay, now, do you have a list of resources, like website links?
I do on my blog, on mamacouts.com.
Okay, mamacouts.com, and that's MAMAKAUTZ. .com, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we have a link at the bottom of radiofreeredoubt.com for those of you who are not listening online. You go to the website, click on, well, most of you who are listening already have Radio Free Redoubt in your bookmarks. Just scroll to the bottom, find Mama Couts' website, click on that, and that'll take you right to the link. And you've got a ton of links there that will help folks start getting educating themselves on being able to educate their children at home.
Yes.
Good. Okay. Now, what about the cost? Is there any assistance with the education here? What's the cost here to the parents?
The cost can be anywhere from free to hundreds of dollars a year, depending on how much curriculum you want to use or what you don't want to use. I've been able to do it with books from the library. We use what's called living math, and using math, just books from the library, and not costing hardly anything. Or you, like the box curriculum can run you anywhere from $500 to $700. But
wow.
You don't get any write-offs on your taxes from homeschooling, and you don't get any assistance from the government for homeschooling.
Okay, and yeah, there's no, and that's what they're talking about with this voucher program, right? Where the money follows the child, so for the education system.
Well, the downfall to having government money put into your homeschool, then you have to answer to the government. So So even if they were to allow us to write off taxes, anything I purchase, I wouldn't do it because I don't want them having any say in what I teach.
Good point. Really good point. And that's another discussion for a different time, the school voucher program.
Yeah. I could go on for hours.
Yeah, I could open a Pandora's box with that.
Yeah.
But, okay, so that will give them a good start. Do you have a lot of resources there also to help folks find, locate these homeschool co-ops? They can reach out to other parents for help?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Those are also on your website.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I have them under homeschool websites and whatnot, and then I also have prepper links on there also.
Nice. Yeah, those are very thorough as well. So, okay. Well, really good. I want to just say thank you so much, sincerely, for taking the time to be with us, share a little bit about this. Love to have you back on for some more follow up. This is a really critical topic. And we really want to make it possible, and we want to encourage parents out there that are just pulling their hair out with their children. They know they want to get their kids out of public schools, and they just don't know what to do next. So hopefully this will be something that will encourage them and inform them and get them pointed in the right direction. So great job on your website.
Well, we still can. As long as Eric Holder's still around, we may not be able to do it for much longer. So, but that's a whole other topic that we need to
absolutely
talk about another day.
A whole other reason to start stockpiling homeschooling materials, huh?
Yes, right?
Absolutely.
Lots of pens and pencils.
Absolutely. Okay, very good. Thank you so much. I'm going to post that for our listeners. You've been listening to, this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, interviewing Mama Couts. Katie's running, several websites, but one in particular, Mama Couts, with a lot of resources to help you folks out there want to get your kids out of the public schools with homeschooling resources. And so we're going to have a lot more of her back. And so we're going to go ahead and go into a break. When we come back, we got a lot more to cover as far as public schools. So stay right there. This is the Voice of the American Readout.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Readout at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Readout.
And it goes a little something like this.
This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you are listening to Radio Free Readout. This is the Voice of the American Readout. We had a guest lined up that unfortunately could not join us at the last minute. We're going to try to do a follow-up with him in the next show. If we'd want to set about 15 minutes aside to be able to talk to that guest, because he is very involved in the private Christian school component of alternatives to public schools. He's got a lot of information. We want to follow up with him and be able to bring some information to you folks out there, parents who are concerned about the public school systems, looking at different alternatives. And we want to give you guys resources to be able to do that, because we have to protect the most valuable asset, and that's our offspring. We are called to bring up godly offspring, and it's kind of hard to do that when the enemy is out there just waiting to devour them when we hand them over to hours and hours of indoctrination. So we want to counter that. One of the ways to do that is the Christian schools. For those folks who are able to do that. And we do have a guest with us tonight. We're going to interview a student who actually goes to a private Christian school. Her name is Naomi. And so we're going to talk to her and get a second grader's perspective on the Christian school system. Naomi, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you a lot, too.
Okay. Now, you are in the second grade. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And how old are you?
Well, just turned 9 yesterday. I had my birthday, so.
Oh, yes. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now you go to, have you always gone to a Christian school?
Yes, yes, okay. I have.
And you're not homeschooled. You actually go to a private Christian school?
Yes.
Okay, good deal. And so let me ask you, do you like going to a Christian school?
Yes, I love to.
And why do you like that?
Well, because we get to worship God and have chapel once a week and praise Him. And at a public school, you can't do anything that's near Him.
So you're not able to pray and things like that?
Yes, and not so, even pray or worship Him.
Okay, so that's why you like the Christian schools. That's good. Do you have lots of friends and playtime and recess and everything just like a public school?
Yep.
Good deal. Okay, so tell me about your day at public school. What's it like?
Well, it's really, really nice.
Well, how does your day start?
Well, we start out with coming to school and we do our journal entries. We write in a journal, and then after that, we do a history fact.
Oh. Oh, what do you write in your journals?
Well, on the board, it either says my favorite color is, and then maybe a dot, dot, dot. And you write what your favorite color is in your journal.
Oh, okay. So up on your, this is a writing journal. This is a practice in writing then.
Yes.
Okay. So up on the board it says, tell us about your favorite color or your pet's name is or whatever. Something different. Something different every day to write in your journal?
Yes, every day.
Okay. So then what do you do after you write in your journal?
Well, we do a history fact.
Okay. And do you remember what what your last history fact was?
No, I don't, but I can tell you some of them.
Oh, okay. Why don't you give us one?
Well, there was one about Abraham Lincoln. He was in the theater and he got shot by a gun. Mm-hmm. In the theaters.
He got shot in a theater.
Yes.
Okay. So do you think guns are bad?
No. Well, sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't.
What makes a gun bad and what makes it not bad?
Well, what makes a gun bad is if someone came in shooting, like a bad guy, not like for safety.
So somebody doing something bad is what makes it bad.
Yeah.
Right.
And
so the gun's not bad. It's the person using it that's bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got a little bit of indoctrination going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But this is counter indoctrination. This is good stuff.
Yep.
Okay. So now you're 9 years old. Have you started learning how to shoot guns?
Yes, I have. I have a BB gun and a 22, and I practice them both a lot.
Oh, what do you shoot at?
Well, targets, cans, boxes, and more stuff like that.
Always with an adult with you, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. So after you do your history facts, then what do you do?
Well, after that, we do our Pledge of Allegiance. And then after that, we do our Bible workbooks.
Okay, so what else do you do after your journal entry, then your history, then what?
Well, we do our Pledge of Allegiances.
You do a Pledge of Allegiances?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you do more than one Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah.
Can you do it for us?
Yes. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, good job. Now, what are you supposed to be doing while you give your Pledge of Allegiance in class?
Well, we put our right hand on our hearts, and some kids in the class put their arms behind their back while doing it, which I do.
Oh, you put your other hand behind your back when you put the one over your
yes.
heart? Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you said you have Pledge of Allegiances. You have more than one? What are the others?
Yes. Well, there's the Christian flag, and then there's the Bible.
You have a Pledge of Allegiance to the Bible and a Pledge of Allegiance to the...
Christian flag?
To the Christian flag. You remember those?
Yes.
Can you do those for us?
Okay, I'll start off with the Christian flag.
Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior whose kingdom it stands. One Savior crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe.
Wow. And you do that every morning before
yes.
class?
Yes.
That is amazing. What a blessing. Now, what was the, you said there was a Bible, a Pledge of Allegiance to the Bible?
Yeah, it's not like a flag of the Bible. We just, someone takes their Bible up and we pledge allegiance to it.
Wow. Can you do that one for us?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against him. God, I mean.
Wow. Very impressive. And the whole class does this.
Yes.
Now, do you put your hand over your heart and everything the same way?
Yeah, everything is the same.
Wow. So, do you wish that you could go to a public school?
No, not at all.
You don't want to ever go to a public school?
No.
Well, it sounds like you're being raised right. Okay. Is there anything else you want to share about your Christian school before we take a break?
Well, it's a really nice school to go to, and there are a few students that I know of that next year they might be going to a public school because their money is raising down.
Their money's raising... Oh, you mean they're running out of... So they can't afford it? So they don't have the money?
Yeah. Yes.
They want to go to a Christian school?
Not really. They really want to stay there in
the... No, I mean, they want to go to a... They want to stay at the Christian school, but they can't afford it?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's sad. Well, maybe there's something that we can do about that. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think we should do about that?
Well, we should pray and pray some more.
Pray and pray some more. This is some really good advice from a 9-year-old. There's the solution right there out of the mind of a 9-year-old second grader in America. But it's the one solution that the brilliant minds will absolutely never consider or allow to be introduced. Isn't that amazing? Well, here's the hope in our next generation that there is a hope for America, and that's that there are God-fearing, young, liberty-loving Americans that are being raised. So good job to you parents out there that are doing your part, whether you're homeschooling or whether you're sacrificing financially to make sure your kids get into a Christian school. But whatever it takes, do not let them get into a public school. Do whatever it takes to get them out of the public school. So pray and pray some more. And you know what? There actually might be some other things that we can do right along with praying and praying some more. And so I'm going to talk about that a little bit and the Patriot event that's coming up in July when we come back right here on Radio Free Redoubt. You've been listening to Naomi, and stick around. We've got a lot. We got more to cover before we get things wrapped up.
Help keep a watchful eye out for tyranny and the police state. If you see something, say something.
This is Sir Knight with the Paratus Familia blog and the Tactical Tip of the Week. No matter what type of rifle or pistol you choose to carry, you're going to have to invest in tactical gear, unless, of course, you intend on stuffing ammo and magazines in your pants pockets. The equipment available is never-ending. There's plenty of surplus equipment available on the internet, from magazine pouches to holders for hydration packs to canteen carriers. The important thing is to find the equipment that is comfortable for what you wear. If you have any friends or relatives that are in the military and have recently come back from the sandbox, they have spent a lot of time wearing this gear. Ask them what worked for them and what didn't. Ask them what they liked and what they didn't. Do research before buying any imported equipment. While some is very good quality, some is complete junk, and you will be wasting your money. This is Sir Knight with the Paratus Familia blog on Radio Free Redoubt, our last best hope for freedom.
Are you a licensed ham operator? If so, the American Redoubt Movement needs your help. To support the mission of keeping the American Redoubt connected in a Teotihuacan situation, Radio Free Redoubt is working on a project to build a network of patriotic, amateur radio operators who consider themselves redoubters. Your skills will be critical in rebuilding and advancing the American Redoubt Movement after Teotihuacan. Please email us at radiofreeredoubt@gmail.com to find out how you can partner with Radio Free Redoubt in this critical and time-sensitive project. Your input and ideas are greatly appreciated. Thank you, ham operators, for what you do.
Okay, we're back on Radio Free Redoubt for the final segment. Going to get everything wrapped up here. Thank you so much, guys, for being with us. And thank you for your support. I thank you for being patriots all the way down to the core. Your love for Americanism and your desire to preserve that when the rest of the country is rejecting everything that we know and love about America. They want to try to turn it into a new European model. They want to compare America to all the other countries, and they forget that we stand apart from the rest of them for a reason. But they want what everyone else has. They want socialism. They're screaming for it. And you bring up everything that we hold dear, our American heritage, our Judeo-Christian values. It brings increasingly hostility. So here we are. We're redoubting, right? We're taking the gap. We're getting out of these areas that are hostile toward our beliefs and trying to rob our children. And we're trying to encourage one another either as well. This isn't a doom and gloom. It's just the facts. It's the way things are. It's the cycle in the history of the rising and falling of empires. And in order for us to preserve what we value, to pass on to generations down the line, this is a message of hope and an encouragement that you are not alone. You're not psychotic because you see true danger, regardless of whether or not the leader is saying, don't pay any attention to that. When they start talking about big government and tyranny, just don't listen to any of that. Don't look behind the curtain. There's nothing. Just turn. You better be watching the right hand when the left hand's doing something and vice versa. All right. When they say, don't look over there, there's probably a reason why they don't want you to look over there and pay attention when you hear about tyranny. Right? Okay, now, in the spirit of keeping you informed and encouraged, we got a major event coming up on July 26th, 27th, and 28th. I'm going to set up a special tab on the website. It's kind of in under construction mode. Okay, so
That's going to have all the dates, websites, and all the information on there, and things are developing right now. This Northwest Patriot and Preparedness Rally is going to be hosting speakers such as Chuck Baldwin, Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers, Sheriff Mack. We've got Jordan Page, a Patriot rocker and folk singer. He's locked in. There's just so many. But also, there's a couple things. You guys know that there's a Facebook page for the Inland Northwest, the Northwest Patriot and Preparedness Rally has a Facebook page. You can get to that also by going to the Inland Northwest Oath Keepers site, and then over on the right, you can see a link that will take you through to the Facebook page for the Northwest Patriot and Preparedness Rally. But that's a Facebook page. Some of you don't have Facebook accounts. And in order to get to the Northwest Patriot and Preparedness Rally Facebook page, you have to have a Facebook account and you have to log in. That's turning some people away, I'm afraid. So we are going to set up a standalone page, probably a WordPress online blog that you can just click to and go to. It's going to be linked from several different websites, including the Oath Keepers site and Radio Free Redoubt and several others. Now, remember, there are several workshops that are going to be put on by preppers to teach you various different skills if you want to learn about various different aspects of prepping, from communications. There will be demonstrations and classes to food preservation, to medical skills and some first aid classes. There's some things related to the tactical side of things. There's going to be several vendors there besides the Patriot organizations such as the Tea Party, the John Birch Society, a Tea Party of North Idaho, Conservative Patriots of North Idaho, several of them. If you are a vendor, if you have an organization, or if you have a ministry that would go along with this preparedness and Patriot rally, let us know. You can email me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. I'll get you in touch with the right people if you're interested in being a vendor. If you don't and you're not a vendor and you just want to participate, camping will be available. I'll get the exact pricing on that. It's like 12 or 15 or 17 bucks a night. Dry camping, bring your own gear. There's going to be contests for the best camp, the best off-grid power setup, and so on. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, with that, as many of you guys know, there's a couple things going on here. First of all, there is an outfit that's owned by super strong patriots called Nate's Pizza. Nate's Pizza in Post Falls, Idaho. They've got a Facebook account. I'm going to post the link, or you can just go to facebook.com/Nate's Pizza. It is Nate's New York pizza. These guys are hardcore patriots and big time supporters of Oath Keepers. Okay, now you also know, hold on to that thought. You also know that Oath Keepers is sponsoring now a NASCAR car. And that is actually, let me read the email that I just got on that. It says, please join us at Nate's New York Pizza in Post Falls, Idaho on June 1st at 11:30 a.m. And Katie, if you would make sure that gets posted also on all the social networking stuff. And I'll put a posting on the website as well. June 1st at 11:30 a.m., they will be watching the Oath Keepers car driven by Jeffrey Earnhardt, and watch him win the NASCAR race in Dover, Delaware. Nate, the owner of Nate's Pizza, has generously offered to donate 20% of all sales on that Saturday to the Inland Northwest Oath Keepers, and all those funds that are collected will go toward the Patriot and Preparedness Rally because there's a lot of costs involved. So Nate's New York Pizza in Post Falls, Idaho, hosting a NASCAR event with big screen TVs to watch the Oath Keepers car race and the NASCAR race on Saturdays. This is the professional or national series, which is on Saturdays. The national series NASCAR race, 11:30, Nate's New York Pizza, 20 Patriots need to show up. Nate also put on a Second Amendment Gun Appreciation Day where folks who came in and showed their concealed weapons permit or they were carrying a firearm got a discount on their pizza. And this was 6 weeks ago. I found out about that. So we really want to support these guys. They're strong patriots and get behind them. On that date, any business you bring to them, support them. Say thank you for being patriots, for supporting the Oath Keepers. Thank you for supporting this Patriot Rally because it really is going to go a long way toward encouraging, equipping, and informing redoubters, patriots, God-fearing, liberty-loving Americans who are drawn to this area, who are congregating to this safe haven, this refuge for conservative values. All right? Okay, so we are going to get everything wrapped up here, guys. Thanks so much for all your prayers and for your support, for your letters of encouragement. The AMRON operators and those of you participating in the communications nets who want to stay connected and informed in a grid-down situation, you're practicing, you're training. I commend you. I salute you for getting involved and helping to keep the American Redoubt connected and to also keep the American Redoubt connected across the United States to keep all patriots connected and informed and encouraged in some potentially dark times that we have coming up ahead of us. All right. Okay, guys, I'm going to let you go. We are going to just clear out of here. I want to wish you all a super blessed week and go over there and check out Katie, MamaCouts.com. Lots of great information over there on just self-sufficient living, preparedness, and as well as lots of resources for helping you find alternatives to raising up godly offspring and without the influence or minimizing the influence of definitely the public school system. So you guys have a blessed week. God bless you, your businesses, your homes, your families, all that you set your hand to. Remember to approach your decision to move to the American Redoubt prayerfully. And if it's not viable for you, then we just pray that you will absolutely bloom where you are planted and be effective for His glory. Okay, until we meet in 2 weeks from now for episode 1311. In 2 weeks from now, meet us here. You guys just be blessed, right? This is John Jacob Schmidt. You've been listening to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Good night.